former President Donald Trump and Second Gentleman Doug Emhoff were both campaigning in Wisconsin yesterday. It's Wednesday, October 2nd, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, the Democratic Party of Wisconsin is outpacing their GOP counterparts when it comes to fundraising and spending. We'll have the details. And major utility companies in the state are spending billions on renewable energy. Stay with us.
On Wisconsin Today, you hear the biggest stories in our state delivered with the context you need from a source you can trust. This journalism is community supported. Join in now with your gift at wpr.org/givewitoday.
Former President Donald Trump came to Milwaukee for the first time since the Republican National Convention last night. As Nick Rommel reports, it was one of a couple of stops he made in Wisconsin's Democratic strongholds.
Trump spoke to a small crowd of mostly reporters at the Discovery World Museum. He called for a new strategy for cutting government expenditures.
I'm going to appoint Elon Musk, who's a fantastic guy, to lead a government efficiency commission.
He repeated an attack against immigration that has angered some Black and Latino leaders.
Illegal migrants are taking the Black population's jobs and the Hispanic population's jobs.
And he said he's not judging the fairness of early voting in Wisconsin yet.
I'll let you know in about 33 days.
Trump spoke earlier Tuesday from Dane County. He said he would hold larger rallies in Milwaukee and Green Bay soon. Nick Rommel, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Second Gentleman Doug Emhoff was also in Milwaukee yesterday on behalf of Vice President Kamala Harris's presidential campaign. Corrine Hess has more on his visit to manufacturer Diamond Discs International.
Emhoff was on the city's far northwest side to promote Harris's Opportunity Economy Plan. That plan includes extending a $6,000 child tax credit to families for the first year of a child's life and a $25,000 first-time homebuyer tax credit.
She is a capitalist. She is pro-growth. She's pro-innovation, pro-technology. She's pro-business, but she also supports workers. Yeah. And guess what? All these things can be true at the same time.
This was Emhoff's second time in Wisconsin since Harris became the Democratic nominee. Both campaigns and their surrogates have made dozens of stops in the state in the lead-up to the presidential contest. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The Democratic Party of Wisconsin outspent their Republican counterparts by more than 2-1, according to the latest campaign finance reports. Rich Kramer reports that much of that money has gone toward a handful of state assembly races.
In just over the past month, the Democratic Party took in more than $6 million, spent more than $4 million, and ended the period with $5.5 million cash on hand. The Republican Party of Wisconsin raised $3.5 million, spent just more than $2 million, and ended with $1.8 million in the bank. UW La Crosse political science professor Anthony Trigosky says he's not surprised.
These numbers are just another example of how the Wisconsin Democratic Party is a fundraising powerhouse. And Wisconsin Republicans have consistently been in the position of trying to play catch-up.
The Democratic Party and affiliated committees have sent hundreds of thousands of dollars toward competitive races, including the 30th and 94th Assembly districts in western Wisconsin. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Three of the state's major utilities are planning to spend almost $2 billion on a slate of renewable energy projects. We Energies, Wisconsin Public Service, and Madison Gas and Electric are all seeking approval from utility regulators to buy 5 solar and wind facilities. They're expected to power about 250,000 homes. The projects are being built in Rock, Wood, Columbia, Iowa, and Grant counties. The projects are part of the utility's plans to retire coal plants and reach net zero emissions by 2050. Andrew Kell with Renew Wisconsin says the projects are necessary to reach a zero carbon future.
Which the Paris Climate Accord and the state of Wisconsin say we need to get to in order to mitigate the impact of climate change.
Consumer advocates have voiced concerns about the cost of the transition on utility customers, but supporters say the benefits outweigh the costs. Coming up, we'll hear about the important role that court reporters play in today's Wisconsin life. Stay with us.
Larry is news you can use.
Thank you, Larry. It's great to be on your show again as we move inexorably towards spring.
I'm wondering how hot this summer is going to be.
You know, everything has been a month early this year.
Well, I think we got warm in February.
We did. This year was just this year was weird across the board, as we all know.
The Larry Mueller Show, weekday mornings at 11 on WPR News.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Brad Kohlberg with a story about the vital role interpreters play in Wisconsin courtrooms.
Every day in courthouses across the state, people's lives are affected in serious and consequential ways. Author Shauna Singh Baldwin of Milwaukee suggests the stakes can be even higher when there's a language barrier involved.
Reducing the world to English. The Latin words, vox populi, vox Dei, are engraved on the imposing facade of Milwaukee County's neoclassical courthouse. The voice of the people, it declares, is the voice of God. Daily, inside that courthouse, many voices of the people speak American English as judges solemnize marriages and judge cases, prosecutors and defense lawyers argue, bargain and plead, mediators try to heal betrayals. But the lives of real people happen in several languages. Often, witnesses, plaintiffs, or accused speak enough English for transacting normal life, but not enough to understand legal discourse. So, tucked away on the third floor of the safety building is an office where administrator Natalie Nugan calls on a roster of 108 certified court interpreters to interpret in 17 languages. Her counterparts in the 72 counties of Wisconsin do the same. My social worker friend, Nimi Arora, asked me to consider interpreting for members of our community. Punjabi is the 10th most commonly spoken language in the world. Hindi is the 3rd, but both are rare in Wisconsin. Bilingual legal dictionaries soon littered every chair, sofa, and table in my condo. I translated and memorized legal terms while walking the Oak Leaf Trail. I began interpreting WPR's hourly news. I practiced in the car or while biking or walking. Many people wearing earbuds are ranting at or confessing to Lake Michigan anyway. As I began interpreting, I became aware of my responsibility to be merely an unobtrusive conduit. Words spoken by judges, lawyers, accused, witnesses, and victims had to be conveyed with the same meaning, tone, and register. Misinterpretation of a judge's instructions or decisions or misinterpretation of witness testimony could lead to a decision being overturned on appeal. I needed to map legal words like ilzam from the Mughal court system to and from the British Indian legal system, allegation, to the post-independence Indian and Pakistani systems, arop and shikayat, to American judicial system jargon, complaint and charges. I needed to map Latin phrases like habeas corpus to a phrase like sharirik hazri that a non-legal Hindi or Punjabi speaker would understand. And how should I translate American idioms like to throw someone under the bus? Or map American swear words to Punjabi ones? But mostly I dived down rabbit holes. Now I was into trilingual legal dictionaries along with several translation apps. Wisconsin, indeed every state, will for the foreseeable future need human court interpreters to reduce the world to English so Americans can navigate conflicts arising in our multilingual world. If you interpret in ASL, Mandarin, or Rohingya, you might be in demand.
Shauna Singh Baldwin is an award-winning Indo-Canadian-American novelist, playwright, and poet who lives in Milwaukee. She's also a member of the Wisconsin Public Radio Association Board. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org, on Facebook, and on Instagram. I'm Brad Kohlberg.
And that'll do it for this Wednesday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. Hey, quick note before we're out of here. The Milwaukee Brewers ended up losing to the New York Mets in the playoffs yesterday, 8-4. The Brewers with their backs up against the wall. The two teams playing again tonight now at 6:30. And that will do it. I appreciate you joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. We're back in your podcast feed again tomorrow morning with the latest news. So until then, have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.